Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big, aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick Waite.
We got a little Friday fun day.
Friday, then.
Yeah, we don't typically do these in the middle of the week, but yeah. Now here we are, weekend. We can just crack open every deep woods we want. Just go for it.
Go crazy.
Yeah.
I'm partial to the cherry one, man. Over the years, I think cherry sits up top for me. Sneaky good cherry. Yours is mixed berry,
yeah,
right?
I like mixed berry a lot.
Yeah.
But super massive still, top.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Nothing. Nothing's better than Supermassive.
No. But we don't have that right now. We instead have a Mexican lager. We went a very light 5.3% from our buddies over at Black Long. This is another one of the beers that they gave us on our way out.
Yeah, it was one of the three that debuted that day. One was the Stout, this one, Poncho and Lefty, and then the other was that malt IPA or whatever they're calling it.
The malt shake?
Malt shake IPA.
Yeah.
Yeah, Poncho and Lefty, Mexican lager. And I tell you, Brad, I enjoyed this a lot when I was there, and I think this might be my favorite release from them that I've had.
Okay.
This might be the Poncho and Lefty.
Yeah, we were drinking the Rift Track. I think that was Rift Track number one on a little video review that went on YouTube, the New Zealand Pilsner.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, but I am liking this one a lot more. It's just kind of refreshing, bright. Clean. I know that's a horrible word, but
and you know a little bit of dare I say it's the biscuitiness of it also has a hint of nuttiness to it that I'm really enjoying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that other one, the Pilsner with the it was very fragrant, right?
Right.
Yeah, the hops just kind of blasted their way through this fucking Pilsner, but this is where you want to be.
Mm-hmm. We got our little beer buddies glasses going on here.
Yeah. So, yeah. I love the beer buddies glasses, man. I meant to ask you the last episode, what do you think about this fucking, what is it? The goose throwing $1 million worth of fucking NFT on the chain there.
It was $1 million?
It was $1 million worth.
But they didn't sell, they only sold like 100 of them.
I think it was like 10% of available that they sold.
Right. Yeah.
I think the option, if had they sold them all, then that's what it would have added to.
For them.
Right, for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think all the pieces were there, but I think the market, the way the crypto market kind of dipping, then the NFT interest kind of dipping, all had that against them happening here, and that it wasn't marketed maybe as long as it could have been. A lot of these projects, you know, they'll be telling people for like months and months about them, like just hype. I think that kind of hurt them a little bit.
Yeah, especially because they're like this big global conglomerate hopping into it. Yeah,
but the rewards were interesting. Hard to justify it. Non-NFT people that it would be worth the money, and I'm not sure if they ended up refunding the people that bought or what they. I don't know if they refunded the people that bought, because how would you collect all of them? You wouldn't have got the one of one that was in there to get like the really cool prize, because it's somewhere inside the full collection. So
oh, that's right, like if you bought the 9, then you get like a 10th or something like that,
right? Or there was like there's a couple even rarer ones inside the collection that would be randomly minted. But if the whole thing didn't mint, that could have been number 900 of the thing. So it didn't show up. So I'm not sure what the outcome was with that, or if they're still just be like, all right, we'll just keep them up and people can keep buying them. I'm not totally sure. I'm not following it not that closely at the moment.
Yeah, I read the release, and I'm with you on the prizes piece, because some of these other ones, like, I'm not super close to the space, but some of these other ones, like, it's like, hey, you buy this NFT and then you get access to like a festival, right? Something that you otherwise would not have access to. And on the Goose one, it's kind of like, oh, well, you know, you get to cut the line at this release. But then these are beers that, you know, we see these beers all year long anyway.
Sure.
You know, like, I don't know if these beers kind of justify the, you know, this entry point of, oh, however much it was. I forget how much it was. It was like a few hundred, I think, to get in.
Yeah, I think that's tough call for anyone not in the space, that if it wasn't worth it or not worth it. You can't justify all those rewards, because sometimes there's no rewards with projects, or that's just promise of like future things. So that's a little tough.
Yeah, I was curious, and I meant to ask last week, but then I forgot we started rambling about something.
So I think they were testing it. The original Budweiser cans, the Heritage cans, those are like way under the original cost for them.
Those look cool. And not as a Budweiser drinker, just as I enjoy looking at this beer can. Those look cooler to me, just aesthetically, than the BCS stuff.
Yeah, the neat part about the Heritage cans was they were all unique, versus like you had a certain number that were set in the chapters of the Goose Island that we could both own the same one and they looked the same.
Yeah.
But the Heritage cans, every single one was unique. But then Budweiser did what those next, I think during the Super Bowl or around the Super Bowl, they had like a next NFT, and that failed pretty badly. So. Yeah. I don't know. That space is in a weird spot, and getting people not in the space on board with the space is tough.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, it's tough to build stuff anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, so what'd you get after this week?
Man, cheers to the South Loop Motor Row. Made my way over there.
Okay.
The old Chess Records is over there. You forget about that. It's just a block from Dunier. That's where I went to Fermenta.
Oh, nice.
So just like the Chess Records, the movie. So, you know, fucking, I was going to say Buddy Guy, but it's Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, Chuck Berry, all recorded at Chess Records. Okay. Chess Records had a few locations, but the main one, I think, was on 21st Street. So if you go down to 23rd Street, you're in the old Motor Row. Oh, Motor Row Brewing, and that's where Dunier Fermenta is.
Okay.
So I went to Dunier Fermenta.
Nice. And they do, what's the other collection?
Dutch Bag is there. Dutch Bag is a tenant there.
Oh, okay. But yeah, they have two. Dunier has two. And they have the sour.
Oh, shit, you're right. And Modern Dune. Modern Dune is the clean side.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so they're doing slushies down there of the Dunier Fermenta stuff. Sure. And then they're doing, what else are they doing? Oh, and I didn't see any guest drafts, so I wanted to try the Dutch Bag stuff again. But I didn't try that. I don't know if you remember that space as a Motor Row, but the...
I never went.
Oh, you never went.
But I knew it was like multiple floors, and the brewery is on the second floor, right?
Brewery's on the first floor. Oh. And then upstairs is like a true tap room experience, where it runs from like the front of the building to the back of the building.
Okay.
Pretty long hallway style. But the front little tasting room is just that, where you can maybe fit 20 people in there. And then behind the bar is this big ass brewery that takes up most of the first floor.
Okay.
So it's a very tiny space. So then, you know, first thing we asked was like, yo, what's going on upstairs? And they said, we're going to start a natural wine company upstairs and a cigar lounge. We're going to have oversized seats. We're going to pair wines and cigars upstairs. Huh. So that's interesting, because their whole thing is hybrids, you know, beer, wine hybrids is Dunier Fermenta's entire project.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the, you know, IPAs, pale ales and pilsners and shit. On the Modern Dune side.
Natural wines and cigars.
Yeah. Natural wines, man, are kind of weird. Like, just a few I've had. They're like, what's the word? They're not, I don't know, just sharp edges and just kind of weird flavors. Not familiar flavors, not weird, just unfamiliar.
You get more of those earthy flavors, almost like IPA kind of things that you're going to get from just grassy and I don't know, just more fragrant than just the grape variety that you're going to get from it.
Yeah. So that's interesting. But that's the rabbit hole, because the guy used to work at Lagunitas, and he was tired of making the same beer over and over again. So then he's like, well, what do I do? different. He's like, oh, well, shit, I just create this own this little category where I'm doing a hybrid thing. So
okay. And then you have two breweries, a winery. Damn. Okay. That's pretty awesome.
That whole little section is bumping, man. I was telling Brad in the pre-show, from 22nd Street down to 23rd is like nonstop businesses all of a sudden on both sides of the street. You know, eateries, hotel, fucking, you know, boutique stores. There's a drag show down there. There's a fucking, there's a couple of nightclubs. Yeah. So circled the block maybe six times before I found a spot to park. So I was very, it was very bustling on a Sunday. It really caught me off guard. Yeah. So that was kind of weird.
That's cool. Yeah. I need to make it down to that space, check it out. And I need to try some more Dunyard. I haven't had it since we had it that first time I came across it and was like, what is this brewery?
Oh, that's right. That's yeah, because it was in a, because now they're in cans, but when you found it, it was in like this really cool, clear, mirrored fucking label, right?
Right. That's funny. Yeah, I think that might have been our reel we did with the tiki mugs. And.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So, man. Yeah, so I haven't had their stuff in forever. Yeah. That's cool. So you made it down there, and then you were out in the burbs?
Yeah, man. Woodridge, Illinois. Hello. You know PBR before they moved to L.A., they were in Woodridge.
Okay.
And that's the only reason I know Woodridge as a town. But Sketchbook is out there. Fuck.
Not Sketchbook. Skeleton Key.
Skeleton Key. Yeah. So Skeleton Key for the first time in 11 months.
Okay.
Is back online after a tornado ripped through their space. Yeah. Right. So I was telling Brad, we... I have a photo of the Skeleton Key guy because he was wearing a cool Skeleton Key t-shirt that kind of drew inspiration from like an old Strohs label or something.
Yeah.
But I don't remember it really having their stuff. And bless you, man.
Nice.
And I was just tired of commuting and then going home and passing out on my couch every fucking night because I'm in my car every day now. So I'm like, after work, I'm going to fucking Woodridge. I don't care where it is, I'm going.
Okay.
So that's what ended up happening.
Nice. Yeah, we, like you said, you didn't have much Skeleton Key beforehand, and I haven't had much Skeleton Key outside of that Oak Park Microbrew Fest.
Right.
Just, but everyone talks about them, and they especially talked more about them after the tornado, because there's lots of support for them.
So, apparently, the tornado touched down, and the only business that it tore up was Skeleton Key.
But,
right.
Just, kind of weird,
yeah,
I don't know.
So like
smiting was that like?
And on my way down that day from Lake County, there was a tornado watch. The day I happened to go, it was very bizarre. But yeah,
I figure it's probably like a tornado hitting the same spot twice.
Yeah. So the footage of the tornado you see is from them. Somebody was there recording. So the footage you saw on the news was Skeleton Key recording it before they got out of there.
Shit.
It happened to be on Father's Day. So the brewer...
It's coming up on like an anniversary.
Exactly. So the head brewer who's usually there on a Sunday to do a bunch of work didn't have to do the work because the guy who owned the joint, he fucking did the work for him.
Okay.
And 3 hours later, boom, this fucking tornado hits. It was super bizarre. Yeah. So when you go into the space, there's a gold line, a jagged gold line painted on the wall. And that's the spot to kind of where the building blew off.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. And I took some notes, man. But, like, what did they say? So, there's a – you walk into this joint. It's a classic strip mall. There's a tap room in the front. And then there's a bar. And then there's a brewery.
Okay.
So, the tap room had just gotten rehabbed before they did this.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah. It was pretty interesting, man. It was pretty interesting.
Nice. And so how was the beer?
I enjoyed everything I had, man. It was okay. I had a started with a Schwartz beer, and then I went to this 9% collab that they did with Microphone and Twisted Hippo. All proceeds go to Twisted Hippo. And then I had something that was like a coconut golden ale.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was really good. So the wife teaches at College of DuPage.
Okay.
And then they were doing hazy blind tastings. They were doing off-flavor tastings at this place. They would have students come down. And, you know, I'm asking the guys next to me, like, what does Skeleton Key mean? And they were like, you know, one key, many locks. So having it be a space that does exactly that, you know, Brother Chimp started there. The place you went to, Bubble House, started there. So in addition to the school stuff and teaching other people how to brew, having it be in a place that appreciates all aspects of beer as a neighborhood thing.
That's cool.
The closest brewery to them is Darien, Miskatonic. Hmm. So when the tornado hit, it didn't hit their tanks. That's why they're able to regroup. But all the raw grains, all the materials, they dragged all that to and set up shop at
Miskatonic.
So they had pallets of beer and kept all their stuff there.
Okay.
And then, everybody came to support.
That's amazing. That's awesome that that stuff wasn't affected. I think it's awful that these things happen, but it didn't take out their whole building. Even Twisted Hippo mentioned, this fire, but we were able, the tanks were salvageable, and things that would make it much harder to come back from had you have to start from zero again.
Yeah.
That's a blessing there.
Yeah. So it was interesting, especially because I didn't know anything about them as a crew or any of their beers. And yeah, the space was great. It looks like, when you go to the bathroom, it looks like they have a wall up, like a removable wall, and it looks like an event space that's theirs too.
Cool.
So basically three rooms in one.
Nice. That's cool. I'll have to make it out there someday too. All these spots, all these breweries to hit up.
Bro, this place is out there, man.
I saw today or yesterday that the guilds posted that Illinois just opened the 300th brewery in the state?
Isn't that crazy?
There's 300. We're almost at a brewery for every day of the year.
I always thought it was just maybe 80 in the city and 100 in the burbs. That was always my unofficial. If anyone asked me, that's what I would tell them. There's 300 breweries, man.
Yeah, but that's probably about right still, about, 100 in the city, 100 in the Chicago, another 100 in the Chicagoland area, and then probably another 100 past the suburban
that's fair.
Sprawl area, right?
That's fair. In the state, but not in the region. Because Illinois is a tall state.
Yeah.
We said this before, and I saw it on Channel 11. It's a weird stat, but if you put Illinois on the East Coast, it runs from North Carolina. No, from New York State. It runs from New York City down to North Carolina. Just a very long state. So, right. Yeah, that's probably true.
So that stat probably is pretty close. Maybe there's more in maybe it's 150 in Chicagoland, burb kind of region, but still 300 breweries. I forget what the latest 300 one to open was. But, man, I don't know. I've maybe gone to 100? What? Is that what you'd probably if you had to guess off the top of your head?
Yeah.
Maybe 100?
Out of 300?
Maybe yeah. I've made it to a third. But yeah. It's probably more 60.
Right. I mean, because we go, sure, we've been to breweries 100 times, right? But then how many different breweries are we going to?
Right.
Yeah. Cause shit, cause I've been to Dunier before. You know what I mean? So.
And the spot I went to, I've gone to many a times. I went to Old Irving this week. So
this is the unofficial Old Irving podcast.
It's incredibly close to where we're at and where I'm at. So I went in there last night, Thursday night, and it was packed. I've only typically gone there for lunch, and so I've never seen it busy nightlife, everyone there, and so it was pretty full.
I do enjoy their space.
And then sat at the bar, got I think their lager right away, ONI, it's called. That was in cans. And then I've seen this on Instagram and Twitter, this green beer.
Some weird kind of, not murky, but just a very weird candy-colored beer, right?
Right, and then I saw a couple other people drinking it, and I was like, you know what, I need this mainly for the picture. Not necessarily because I want it, but I got it for the picture. And it was a kettle sour, pineapple, lime, coconut. I believe there was the vanilla bean in there, and it was interesting.
That's a lot of moves, Brad.
How was it? I wish I had ice and I was drinking it on the beach.
I wish I had ice and a flask with gin in it.
Right. Or I need a crazy straw, some ice, and I'm on the beach with sand under my feet. That's what it tasted like.
A little tiny umbrella?
Yeah, give me that. Give me the whole thing, because it tasted a lot like suntan lotion, and that's that's a problem with like coconutty beer sometimes.
I think you're right. I think we were talking about the Pilsner with the New Zealand hops. It's a similar kind of issue. Lighter beers with the coconut. Man, the coconut goes crazy, right? Yeah. And before you know it, it's like there was a beer, LA Lux, from Half Acre. It's right. The same type of effect, like good intentions, but this coconut does whatever the fuck it wants, and it's just a very weird combination.
But it's almost hilarious. I was thinking about that, like, oh, it reminds me of suntan lotion. I haven't used suntan lotion that would have had coconut butter suntan lotion.
When's the last time you ate coconut suntan lotion?
Right, like the suntan lotion I have or the spray, I don't even know, it doesn't have that aroma anymore. So that that we all associate this coconut butter with suntan lotion is very weird.
Yeah, you're right.
But we all do. Yeah. And why do we?
When you said suntan lotion, I had a very specific idea in my head of what that would taste like or smell like.
Yeah.
Because you smell mostly what you taste, what you smell. Yeah.
And so there must be a lot of suntan lotion that typically has this coconut kind of aroma to it, which is hilarious that everyone just smells like coconut then, like when you're down in the Miami Beach or something. Is that how that goes?
No, that's just weird. That's a weird conversation now that we're actually making sense of it. Because there's no coconut in the thing. So why does everyone smell like coconut?
Yeah. But I like the beer, especially as like a kettle sour. It was a fun take on it. And the fact that they got it that green was pretty awesome.
What'd they call this thing?
Mahalo.
Okay.
But about halfway through, I was like, I need this beer done. Like, I didn't want anymore. I, like, wish a buddy that I was with, he drank his, and he was done about halfway. Or I was only halfway, and he was done. I was like, I wish I would have drank this as fast as you drank this, because I want this over with.
Yeah, it looks very much like a, I don't know, like a blow pop, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely some sort of candy.
Yeah, but it was, I don't know, like, everyone disregard like, me saying, like, I want it. Just be done drinking it. It was good. It was just almost too much of it.
Yeah. You kind of wish they would have just offered you the baby snifter.
Yeah, I could have asked for that, but you know, I didn't. I did it for the photo.
Oh man, you did it for the team, man.
Yeah. It for us.
I like that.
So, but I don't think I'd get it again. But I think it's fun, and seeing people, like when you look around the bar, and everyone just has like a fun color glass, because they also have a red, kind of a different kettle sour. And so everyone's glasses look like they have something else in them. And that's pretty neat to get people to be like, oh, I want that drink.
I hear you.
Give me that.
I hear you. Yeah, that's true. Like you see some nice presentation on like a crazy, I don't know, French toast or something from across the room.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah.
What that? I don't need to look at this menu. I just need that.
You just point to it. Yeah.
That's funny. Which was a funny, because I also saw this thing the other day on like a TikTok or a reel that someone was like, oh, why don't we see seltzers on tap?
Yeah.
And the reason this person had was a couple reasons, but one was because when you pour a seltzer in a glass, it's clear. And since a lot of beer drinking is what it looks like, and like almost like, I don't know, showing off what you're drinking, that you just have a glass that looks like water, it's not very interesting to the like experience of it.
That's fair. And also very true.
Because you love a good glass, man, like a fancy cup.
You kidding me?
So if you just have a pint glass that's clear with the seltzer in it.
What are you doing?
You're like, okay.
What are you doing? Yeah. And then it'll probably look flat, mm-hmm. most likely. What are you going to do with that?
So seeing like a green beer, that's very visually interesting.
That's fair.
But that was my only stop this past week. Went in for a couple beers. I was disappointed the Banshee wasn't on, because I love that beer.
Yeah, that's a doozy.
Yeah, so those were our couple stops this week. What else has been happening? Oh, we heard a rumor.
Yeah, man, rumor time. Last week's rumor was Garfield Park is no more for Beer in the Glass. That was last week's rumor.
Right. Still unconfirmed rumor.
Unconfirmed. But... This is just a rumor. Just rumors.
Yeah. Yeah. We've heard a rumor that the Finch location in the Brewing District has been sold.
The Legend of Finch. Yeah. This is just a rumor, but reports are...
Sources say
that there's a good chance that a Chicago brewery is moving into the Finch location and soon, right?
So
that's a rumor.
Yeah.
So
who's it gonna be? And what? Wait. Back this up.
Back it up.
That means Finch no longer has a brewery, and they only have the little brew house inside the Perch.
The Perch. That's what it's called. I was trying to tell somebody the name of their brewery.
So yeah. They're not gone. They're still a brewery, but they're inside the Perch.
Let's see. So,
or that's the rumor. We don't know.
Yeah. They had their main facility on Elston. So they definitely have four locations, right? The main facility on Elston, the place they are now over in the Brewing District, the old Twisted Hippo, and the Perch. So they've had four different spots.
Yes.
Yeah. And now they're down to two.
And they almost were to build the Metropolitan... Riverfront property.
That's amazing. All right, but yeah. So if they get rid of this one, they're down to one.
What brewery or what Chicago brewery do you think has bought this or is taking it over? Because the rumor is also that this brewery is going to take advantage of the space where this is. This was a complaint we've had for years on this podcast that all these other breweries in the district brew yards have a tap room that you can go to, and you can't even go to that Finch production brewery.
Only time we've seen it was the 312 block party when they had an open house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so weird, right?
And that was also, you know, we'll get sidetracked. That was Pig Mines, right? Or Like Mine. Like Mines? Or
Pig Mines? That's right. No, it was Pig Mines is Rockford. Like Mines is Wisconsin. And then the story in one of these newspapers was that Finch gave them so much money that even though they set up shop, put in the system, painted their name on the wall, Finch gave them so much money that it was an offer they couldn't refuse, so they went back to Wisconsin.
Right.
It's so funny. Oh, this is great.
So who now has given Finch this offer that they couldn't refuse?
Argus. Argus is back.
Argus is back.
No. Argus did have deep pockets. What about Fire Rabbit? Fire Rabbit Survey Cereal, what about them?
But they wanted to be in Pilsen.
They didn't. So much so that they started like a GoFundMe or something, right?
And they're basically dead.
Yeah. Yeah, they sold their joint to Hot Butcher.
Is
Hot Butcher buying
a third spot? They're like, oh, the Lincoln Room is taking too long. We need another spot.
You know what's funny? I was going to a BYOB restaurant over there, and I need a beer, and I'm like, I'm going to just go to Half Acre. And I drove all the way up there, and I forgot.
Shit.
So I went to Jewel and got a six-pack.
Okay.
Yeah.
So probably not Five Rabbit. Could it be...
Let's have some serious guesses now, right?
Could it be Pipeworks? The Pipeworks spot is in Hermosa, right next door, or sharing the space with Off Color.
Yeah.
But Pipeworks has been this brewery that has fallen to the sidelines a little bit in the Chicago beer, minds.
Conversationally, you know, you don't really think about Pipeworks. Right.
Right. But people like Pipeworks.
I think their stuff's really good. And you know, I was telling Brad, you know, it was Blue Island. When I'm at Sox Park, I usually get Blue Island and I usually get a little Citra from Pipeworks. But then that's really the only time I think about Pipeworks.
Right.
You know? So
typically you're not going into Binnie's usually. You'll see it. You'll see some guppy or something. Be like, should I get this? And then you don't.
Right.
But someone's buying it because there's a lot of it.
Right. And then their space, the Hermosa space, is huge. It's a production facility, but it doesn't really have a customer-facing component. Like, you can go in and try, like, these little, you know, free or complimentary, like, thimble-sized cups of something if you want to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no tasting experience there. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So,
But would they, if Pipeworks was to do it, would they just move their whole spot over there, or would this be location number two? Because the that spin spot is big. Like, it's a big space.
I think it's in the top quarter of just square footage. I think it's one. It instantly be you, whoever moves in there is instantly one of the largest breweries in the city. I think.
Yeah, that'd be pretty big.
Yeah.
So it feels weird that Pipeworks would need another giant space. Like, they need a customer facing tap room.
That place was so big that
a still life kind of thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, but you know, people would go to Pipeworks. So I'd definitely go to Pipeworks if they had an on site experience. But that, just to put it in perspective, like, they used to do mini golf in that joint, Goose right. Island. Like, it's an event space. They used to do concerts there. Like, it is a very big space. I'm surprised Goose didn't buy it, right?
Well, Goose sold it too.
I thought the lease was up. Then they just couldn't even, they moved out. That's what I thought. I think they didn't buy it.
Well, and they built, they didn't need it anymore because they have the giant warehouse.
Yeah, I think Beerinator was saying that. And when we were in the space, we were seeing somebody, you know, one of those retro acts.
Okay.
And he was saying that at that time, he's like, this would instantly be one of the biggest breweries in the city, whoever moves in here. And it's right on Goose's turf, and Goose needs to do something about this. I think that was his argument.
Finch went in there. So, Pipeworks, I don't know. It would be nice, but it seems almost a little unlikely that they don't need it.
We're underestimating. Well, they were going to do a tap room in Logan, right on...
next door to Emporium, where the weed shop went to.
No. It was on Cali. Down up a couple of doors down from me, Tokaya. So in between Logan and Diversey on Cali. It's like walking distance from Ravinia, basically. They were going to do, and it's still an empty spot. They were going to do something there. And it just never materialized.
Okay.
I don't know, man.
So.
I hope it's Pipeworks. I think.
Then you threw out, as we were debating this before the show, you tossed out Maplewood.
Yeah, because just because across the street. Well, two things. Across the street at Gray Central, Maplewood had like an unusual amount of beers on, like 5 beers. It was super weird.
So that means Maplewood is needing to make a lot of beer.
Right. And that contract thing is going to be more expensive. Well, depends on how you look at it. But, you know, there's a fee for that, right? Mm-hmm. To have somebody else make your beer. And remember, we interviewed Sketchbook, and Sketchbook wanted to own their supply chain. So they said, hey, it's worth it to us to go buy a whole nother brewery and make our own goddamn beer, then to contract it out to these guys. That was a more adventurous thing for them.
Right.
And I think there's something to be said for that, because when we interviewed Solomoth said, hey, man, if you have your own space, it's marketing like you wouldn't believe, because you're going to get a quarter million people come through these doors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's a big deal.
And then the Maplewood space is really small, the Maple Room.
Love the Maple Room. It's a distillery, A. B, they don't make, apparently they don't make any of the beers that make it to the stores there. They only make, like, the special release stuff, right?
Right.
So.
And they somehow have a kitchen, too.
They do have a kitchen.
In that.
Yeah.
So they could just make that the, like, distillery, right?
Yeah, and you could expand distillery operations because it's a full-time distillery. And then your brewing operations.
You go over into the brewing Chicago Brewing District.
CBD.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Maplewood, I don't know. Are we putting our money on Maplewood?
Man, well, we tossed out Hippo, right?
Yeah, but I think they would rather open a space in the neighborhood they were in.
Yeah.
And we've heard some other rumors of them part of some other projects.
Yeah. And I think, and to be fair, man, let's not underestimate how massive of a space this is that whoever goes in here is getting. Yeah. This place is huge.
Right. So someone needs to already have that demand. And I think Maplewood would be a really good guess for that. I don't know who else would be big enough or who's producing enough beer. That's a Chicago brewery that would need another location like that. Old Irving. I think Alarmist has room to grow there. Old Irving, yeah, Old Irving could use the space.
Yeah. If Phase 3 didn't announce their Elmhurst thing, I would have guessed them.
All right, but the rumor is a Chicago.
Oh, that's right. Chicago brewery. So who else do we? Who else could fit that bill?
Beguile?
That's fair.
Oh, because Great Central makes Beguile stuff,
that's
too.
That's true. Yeah. That's a fair guess.
Ooh, that would be, that'd be interesting.
Yeah. What's Cruz Blanca doing? Well, they're
not anything anyone's talking about.
No. Right. Yeah, I'm drying out, but I'm running out of blunt ideas. But those are good guesses, I think.
Yeah. So, like we said, this is just a rumor right now, but I don't know, from decent sources.
I'd say so.
So we may see the Finch story continue on.
The legend of Finch, the most bizarre, the most bizarre brewery, I think, in the last 15 years, easily.
Yeah.
That's a wild ride.
For sure.
Fucking Finch. Wow.
The only other brewery that I would say is almost like a Bader Brow is like the other crazy Chicago beer story. What the fuck? Or even Kings and Convict buying.
Yeah. Because Bader Brow died thrice. It died in 88 when they were in Elmhurst. It was too elaborate of an operation to keep open. So Goose bought the naming rights. Goose won a medal as Bader Brow. And then they changed that name to like Goose Golden Pilsner. But they won a medal as Bader Brow. So they killed it at Goose. It got killed in Elmhurst. It rose again at Argus. Then they built the space that was going to be condos, which is now Moody Tongue. And then it died again.
So it's Argus or Bader Brow back?
For the fourth time?
It's Ale Syndicate is back.
Oh, my God. It'd be funny as hell if Ale Syndicate and Bader Brow joined forces and brought back Arcade and 54th Ward and got the band back together, man. That'd be funny.
Damn. Crazy. All right. So that's a little bit of rumor. Any other events or news that we need to talk about or mention?
Man, Brad, I think that's it, man.
All right. We're heading to Memorial Day weekend here, so plenty of drinking to be had by everybody. But then I think...
Oh, yeah, man. Cheers to Brad, because he said get that Valdor on Orval Day. So I did that.
Oh, nice. You did.
Oh, man. Had it side-by-side with the fucking Orval.
Oh, yeah. I was supposed to get it, or you were supposed to get it, and then we were going to do a versus.
Yeah. I got Thorval, because you got to get... I bought two Orvals.
Okay.
And I got one Valdor. Man, this Valdor is really good.
But you've already drank it.
Yeah.
So we need another one.
Right.
I forgot about this.
Yeah. Man.
How?
Oof. Man.
It's really good, right? But how did it compare to Orval?
It was brighter. Orval was like, you know, since December. On the bottle, it said December. So it had a more hot forward presence. It's kind of nice, bittering, hot presence. But this Valdor had like this layer of like, I don't know, citrus in it. It was just brighter and it held its own in every way, man. I was really surprised.
Yeah, Bobby the Booch sold me on it.
I'm looking at these picks and I'm like, oh shit, I forgot about the Valdor. Still not clear on what Valdor is, but I love the label and that beer's really good.
Yeah, we gotta do a versus with those two. I totally blanked on that, so we're gonna have to make that happen.
Fucking yeah, $11, man.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Right. It's pretty good.
Damn, all right. Well then, Nick, where can people find you, get in touch when we're not here?
Hey man, I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass, Twitter, Instagram, website ChicagoBeerPass.com. And we'll be back for the next episode in June with our half year recap of best beers.
Shit, mid year reviews already.
It's time.
Man.
All right, take care.
Cheers.